by Gulf Oil.
The Apollo 13 astronauts will try to make a vital mid-course correction at about 11:43 Eastern Time tonight. They'll fire the descent engine on the lunar module to slow their speed by about 7 feet a second. That will be enough to make their dive toward the Earth a little steeper and bring the low point of their trajectory a little lower. Low enough for the Earth's atmosphere to grab their craft and slow it down for a splashdown in the Pacific Friday afternoon. Without this or another later correction, they would miss the Earth completely and go back out into space. Conditions aboard the spacecraft are a little chilly. John Swigert reported the command module was down to 35 to 40 degrees, too cold to sleep in, but not too cold to work. To repeat, Apollo 13 will attempt a vital mid-course correction at about 11:43 tonight, Eastern Time. NBC News will cover it with a special report beginning at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sandra Van Oker, NBC News, reporting.
Stay tuned to NBC for continuing coverage of Apollo 13, brought to you by Gulf.
This is a CBS News special report, The Flight of Apollo 13. Here is David Shoemaker.
179,000 miles out, and Apollo 13 has passed the last hour without even a minor problem developing. After what was called a telemetry snapshot, everyone's in a pretty good mood. The astronauts relaxing now before the course correction they need to make to get back inside the reentry corridor. That'll come at 11:43 Eastern Time tonight. At Mission Control, they're busy analyzing that telemetry snapshot, and it was reassuring in a number of ways. First, the main spacecraft battery buses look good. The sensors indicate that the heat shield was not affected by Monday night's explosion, and the propulsion system checks out, too. So the astronauts feel better about climbing back into the command module. And while they have all day tomorrow to make adjustments, they would very much like to go to bed tonight after a burn that successfully put them back inside the entry corridor. For historical purposes, we note that in the original flight plan, Aquarius would have landed on the moon 9 minutes ago. And in all the excitement, we've forgotten that this is the day that Ken Mattingly was supposed to get the measles. He has not. David Shoemaker, CBS News Space Headquarters, New York.
This has been a CBS News special report, The Flight of Apollo 13. Stay tuned to CBS for the next Apollo update.
The Apollo 13 astronauts are getting set to perform another delicate maneuver. I'm Jim Hart. Stay tuned for complete details next on the 11th Hour News.
This is the 11th Hour News, produced by NBC News and brought to you in color by the Public Service Electric and Gas Company of New Jersey and by the Bank of New York, the bank that manages money. Here is Jim Hartz.
Good evening. In about 40 minutes, a little over 40 minutes, the Apollo 13 astronauts are going to fire their rocket engine again to correct their homeward flight path. Their present trajectory, as computed in Mission Control, would cause them to miss the Earth's atmosphere, and the spacecraft would go into an orbit around the sun. Right now, it's 153,000 miles from the Earth. And here is a late report from Frank McGee.
In just 42 minutes, the Apollo astronauts are scheduled to make a vital mid-course correction to take them out of their present trajectory that would miss the Earth. Their engine burn is supposed to last 15 seconds to slow them down by 7 feet per second, or about 4.5 miles an hour. That tiny change, if it is performed correctly, is enough to make all the difference between a course that would take them away into space again and one that would lead to a safe landing on Earth. Mission Control reports that the maneuver is relatively insensitive to time, that it could be performed up to 30 minutes later with no problem. And even if it were not performed at this time at all, other opportunities for course changes will present themselves later. Aboard the spacecraft, with many of the systems shut down to save power, it's getting cold. The command module is down to between 35 and 40 degrees. The astronauts have put on extra clothing to help keep themselves warm, and they are warm enough to work. NBC News will cover the upcoming course change with a special program beginning at 11:30 Eastern Time this evening. Frank McGee, NBC News.
President Nixon has postponed his Vietnam report that was scheduled for telecast tomorrow night. He has said not to want to interfere with the coverage of the Apollo 13 flight. The White House will announce a new time for the report, expected to be early next week. There were rallies, marches.
NBC News continues its coverage of the flight of Apollo 13. This program is being brought to you by Gulf, which has omitted its commercials. Here now is Frank McGee.
Good evening. It's a far different Wednesday, April 15th, than the astronauts of Apollo 13 had originally expected. This, you remember, was to have been the night that two of them landed on the moon. Instead, it has become the night when they are to make a critical engine burn to get them on a safe path back home. And again, with the command module largely out of action, that burn must be made with the descent engine of the lunar module. The firing time is highly approximate and could come almost any time, so we're going immediately to Houston, Texas.
This is John Chancellor at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. 30 seconds now to burn. They have moved it up some 10 minutes, 12 minutes. They're going to turn this rocket engine on early. Let's listen to mission control.
College.
Roger, we copy 7.4.
Roger, 7.4, and I hit about 2 tenths, John, I guess, when we started.
Roger, we verify that. Okay, Aquarius, trim it to 7.6.
Okay, you want plus X now to get 7.6, is that correct?
That's affirmative.
Okay, you're looking at it, Houston.
Okay, looks good. Nice work.
Let's hope it was.
Okay, Aquarius, we're ready to follow you through on setting up PTC and power down. Your choice.
Okay, okay, we're pressing in to get PTC established right now.
It's now just coming up on 3 minutes after the burn, which appears to have been a successful burn. The rocket engine, by our calculations here, having burned for somewhere between 14 and 15 seconds, which is what they had wanted for the burn. And you heard them in mission control saying that they were going to start powering down now. That means turning off a lot of the equipment to save electricity and save water. What had happened, why it was done earlier than planned, we will soon know. We don't know right at this moment. But what has happened is that out in space, Apollo 13 turned its lunar engine toward the Earth, ran it for 15 seconds to slow the spacecraft down to a speed, by a speed of about 5 miles an hour. And by doing that,
It means that the spacecraft will be taken by the Earth's atmosphere when it gets close to the Earth, and will be able to land. And now, having accomplished that maneuver, they may have to make another, we don't know yet, they are turning off the equipment in the spacecraft. With us here at NBC in Houston are two people who know much more about this than I do. I think three. One of them is NBC News correspondent Bill Ryan, who's here with us. Christopher Kraft is in our studio here watching this picture. That's Mr. Kraft on the left. He is director of flight operations at the Manned Spacecraft Center.
That trimming was done with the reaction control system. Burn looked good. I want to get some tracking now and look at that for a while before you can tell precisely what was achieved. Decision has been made to go ahead and reestablish passive thermal control prior to the supercritical helium tank venting. There's enough uncertainty into the time when that will vent now that we're going to go ahead and establish the PTC. We can expect venting any time up to and within the next 2 hours, probably. We'll continue to stand by for live air ground transmissions.
As will we here in our studio in Houston, and a guest we have not had a chance to introduce yet is Captain Charles Pete Conrad, who was commander of the last mission to the moon, Apollo 12, which took place last November. He was the third man to walk on the moon, and Captain Conrad, let me begin with you. You have made mid-course corrections before in your path back to Earth, haven't you?
Yes, John.
And from what you've been able to hear on this one, did all the numbers sound right to you?
Very good.
What was when they said it's 7.4 and then they moved that to 7.6? What is...
Well, normally when you make any burn with the big engines, you don't get a very fine cutoff. You get a fine cutoff for a big engine burn, but we always have some residual. Now, for such a small burn of 7.4 feet per second, we're very interested in trimming that to the exact amount, so we use the RCS system to polish that off. When we made our descent orbit burn, the kind of residuals that they had were approximately the same as we had. We had about 0.2 feet per second to go. In our case, it wasn't necessary to trim. In this case, for a mid-course correction, we're interested in getting it precisely on the money, and so they trimmed it out with the RCS system.
Captain Conrad, a lot of adjectives were used to describe or attempt to describe this burn before it was made. As a man who has made them, would you please characterize it? Was it vital? Was it crucial?
Well, anytime we make a mid-course correction, that is very crucial. We're trying to hit a very precise point for reentry. We do have certain limits on that. We've been outside the Carter before. We assume that we have to make mid-course corrections coming home, and we've always made them. In this case, again, the closer you get to reentry, the closer you're getting to home, the more interested you are in making a very precise maneuver. Now, this maneuver had to be precise only in the amount of velocity that was added. In this particular case, it really didn't make much difference that the direction was exactly on. In other words, it's the velocity that counts in this case and not the exact direction that you apply it.
You don't mean added velocity, you mean subtracted velocity.
Right. I'm just saying that in the case of this burn, whether we were going to add the velocity or take it off, it's not that sensitive to direction as it is to amount.
Now, Apollo 13, in terms of the corridor, and I assume by that you're saying the path home, the straight and most accurate and direct way home, it was farther outside the corridor, or farther out away from that line, than any spacecraft has been in a similar position. Would you, and we did this before, and I think it's very interesting, would you defend that? I mean, if I said to you, why is it so far off the path?
Well, I think there's a very easy explanation for that, John. Normally, we've gone into lunar orbit. As you know, when we go into lunar orbit, we use two burns. We go in, then we take a look at what we've gotten out of that burn, and we have certain errors in it, and then we trim that out with our second lunar orbit insertion burn and put ourselves in a very precise orbit. Then we're there for a long period of time, and as you know, we don't know exactly the gravity potential of the moon, so we have to watch the spacecraft for a while. In this particular case, we had not complete track because we did turn off some of the equipment in the command module, and had it all turned off, we weren't using all the power available in the LEM, and our tracking was not as precise, and it just passed by the moon. Based on that tracking, which was not quite as good as we would have if they were in lunar orbit, we came up with the initial burn. I think that burn was extremely accurate. I think the mid-course correction of 7.6 feet per second is very, very small, considering that we had poor track because of the power down situation, the fact that we just flew by the moon and had never done that before, and we, I think, had an extremely accurate burn at the moon, and we've never made a burn, even a precise one at the moon, that we didn't have to do a mid-course correction, and this is very small.
Mr. Kraft, drawing on your experience, which goes back a long way in this, I know we don't know yet what's going to happen to Apollo 13 tonight or tomorrow morning, but is it possible they may have another burn further to refine this course?
Yes, that's very possible, and it'll probably be a short time. We have one plane, as a matter of fact, short time before the reentry to finally trim the maneuver.
And how about the weather? If that storm in the South Pacific moves into the area of the planned splashdown, could they not, in fact, have another burn to...
Not very likely at this point, because it takes a very large velocity to move the landing point at this point in the trajectory, and the further you go, it takes much more velocity. And we can, however, fly a different kind of range during the reentry with the spacecraft. We can fly ranges from anywhere from 12 to 2,500 miles, so we could simply, by changing the range of reentry, overfly the area of the storm. We're on an ascending trajectory. That means we're coming up from the southwest, so that we just overfly the storm if we think it's too bad there. That would have to all be worked out with the Navy to get the ships in the right place, of course.
Mr. Kraft, I don't want to put this tendentiously, I just want to say, did you, in your years of experience in the space program, ever think it would come to this, where you had a crippled ship coming home with a lot of dangerous aspects of the voyage, lots of perils?
Well, I don't think that any of us that have been in the business are surprised by those kinds of things happening. I think we all hope and pray, and we do the best we can in the checkout of the equipment to make sure that in fact won't happen, but we're prepared to handle those kinds of situations. I would point out to you that Gemini 8 was not too different in terms of the events that occurred on the spacecraft. They were very dangerous from the standpoint of the loss of control. The problem we were faced with here was the length of time that we had to remain in an emergency situation where you're that many hours away from the Earth, and I think that's the thing that all of us have talked about in the past. That's the thing that makes the risk of a lunar mission go up so tremendously, is the fact that when you're around the Earth, you're never more than 20 minutes away from the Earth. You want to fire the retro rockets and bring yourself down. However, when you take off to the moon, you can be 6 or 7 days away from the Earth, and that was the case here. So it really makes the risk go up.
Chris, I'd like to point out one thing that Chris mentioned to me. We didn't have it in our simulations, but we worked out some of these procedures. But on Apollo 13, one of the simulations that they had was a complete loss of oxygen and a rapid power up of the LEM.
Yeah.
So not only had the crew been through it, but they'd been through it with the MCC in Houston.
Yeah. Could I ask both of you to give me your prediction, your feeling on the outcome of this mission now, given what you know and the fact we've had apparently a successful burn of that engine?
Well, I think if everything remains as well as it's going now, that we have good control of the situation. I think we've got a very tight schedule in getting prepared for the reentry, where we've got to get rid of the service module and get rid of the lunar module, go through that kind of procedure. That's going to be very tight for us, because we have an extremely limited amount of power remaining in the command module. What you'd like to do is get into the command module early, get all its systems checked out, and get the platform aligned and all those systems stabilized. If you had the amount of power that was required to do that. However, we're limited to about 2 hours of power at full, at normal power for reentry, and that makes things kind of slim.
Chris?
Yes, sir.
This is McGee in New York. With the figures that you have on this latest mid-course correction that was completed just a few moments ago, would it be possible to project how accurately you may land in the Pacific, how near the actual impact point?
Well, that's more a function of the guidance system than it is the burn we just performed.
Uh-huh.
The burn we just performed was to make sure that we come in with the right flight path angle at the right altitude so that you get the proper capture of the spacecraft and the, so that the heating is not excessive during the reentry. However, from that point in, it's then a function of the guidance system and how well it performs. Now, if the primary guidance system, that is the computer and the platform, come up and we're able to check them out properly and they function properly, then there's no reason why the landing point won't be as accurate as any landing we've had in the Pacific. However, I would point out that if it does not, and we have to fly the backup system, say the entry monitoring system, then we could be as much as 20, 25 miles off, and that could be expected.
I see. That's where that figure of 20 or 25 miles
yeah.
off comes from.
That's
what I was trying to clear up.
Captain Conrad, how about the effect the cold may have on that command module?
Yeah, I think we ought to say that the command module is down to about 40 degrees now without any, you know, with all the power off.
Well, they, I know, looked at some of the equipment that they thought might not perform too well if it got cold, and we have looked at all that, and did they put the buck tie switches on and pull the breakers?
Yes,
they did.
And so we're sure we have the bus do ready to go.
And are they going to, I didn't know, I left earlier today, did they decide to power up at all and look at anything?
They did power up and got the telemetry on, and that's what John is talking about. They had the high bit rate on for about 2 minutes and got a lot of data. That's where we found out the temperatures that John was talking about. 40 degrees sounds cold, but most of the things that we're worried about get freeze at a lot lower temperatures than that.
They were saying 30 to 40 degrees.
I think the thing that was most encouraging to us was the fact that the propellant that's in the tanks was a very large quantity of propellant, something like 40,000 pounds, and that's still at 60 degrees. And that's a very big heat sink, you see, and that's the thing that's going to probably maintain the temperature of the vehicle very well, and we've been, this passive thermal control that they're going to go back and reestablish has worked fairly well for us. It's very significant to me that the people that are making the thermal calculations computed the temperature to be 46 degrees in the helium tank, and it was in fact 46 degrees, which is somewhat amazing, but I guess we're getting pretty good at our numbers these days.